Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Let me begin with a question, and just answer it to yourself. Don't answer it out loud, but make sure you answer it. Not including family or friends, okay, so not including family or friends, what is the one thing that you would not want to lose? What is the one thing you would not want to lose, excluding family and friends? Did anyone answer your relationship with God? I'll come back to that in a minute. But blessed are those, or happy, sometimes it gets translated, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I want to ask you another question, and this one is not a rhetorical question. I do want to see a show of hands on this one. How many of you in the past week, how many of you have used the word righteousness in casual conversation? Raise your hand. Just as I expected. No one. Righteousness, it's one of those church words that we use occasionally in the confines of worship or Bible study, but very rarely, if ever, do we use that word in everyday conversation with our friends and family. It does not roll off of our tongue easily in casual conversation at the ball game. Well, because righteousness is it's not a word that we use on a regular basis, we might not have a real solid grasp of what it means. And so what is it? What is righteousness? Well, it's not about living right, or it's not about correct moral behavior, but righteousness is about relationship. It's about being right with God. It's about trusting more in God and God's way and God's wisdom than in our own. Righteousness is about accepting the invitation that God has extended to all of us to be in a covenant relationship with Him. It's about being in right relationship with God. The Scripture speaks of Noah being a righteous person, because Noah had entered into a covenant relationship with God. Do you remember the story of Abraham's intercession for Sodom? Abraham asked God to spare Sodom if he could find 50 righteous people. That would be 50 people in the city that were in covenant relationship with God. And if you remember that story, it goes on to Adam, they couldn't find 50, so Abraham says, well, 40, they couldn't find 40, so 30, they couldn't find 30, so 20, they couldn't find 20, so 10, they couldn't even find 10 people in Sodom that were in a covenant relationship with God. There's a story of a teacher in the Far East who was down at the river's edge when a young man approached him and ask him what he needed to do to attain enlightenment. Without saying a word, the teacher took the young man by the hand and then thrust his head under the water. He held him there until just before he passed out. He lifted the man out of the water and said to him, "In those last few moments, what were you thinking about?" "I was thinking about air," the man said as he was still gasping for breath. "Anything else?" the teacher asked. "No," the man said. "I was just thinking about air because my life depended on it." "Precisely," the teacher said. "When you can turn your attention on to the eternal truth as if your life depended on it, you will be on the path to enlightenment." So what is it that we must have as if our life depended on it. Is it a job? Is it our house? Is it our car? Is it our toys? Is it our money? What is it that we most desire in this world? Now, that's an unfair question in a way, because in truth, for most of us, it's a moving target. When we're sick, it's health. When we're poor, it's money. When we're lonely, it's companionship. When we're troubled, it's peace. It's our nature to desire and to be filled. But that's not really what the teacher in the story was getting at. What he wanted to know from the young man was what he desired above all else, what he hungered and thirsted for so intently that nothing else mattered. To paraphrase the scholar Richard Niebuhr, if we know what we hunger and thirst for so intently that nothing else matters, then we will know what our God looks like. Let me say that to you again. If we know what we hunger and thirst for so intently that nothing else matters, then we will know what our God looks like. What is that one thing that you would not want to lose? To ask it a different way, what is it that you desire the most? What is it that you hunger and thirst for? When the economy was booming, there were young men and women coming out of business school, landing jobs in financial institutions, bringing in six-figure salaries at the beginning. One of those young people was Dennis Levine. Dennis was riding high in one of the nation's most prestigious financial firms when he was caught doing insider trading. And Levine paid a high price. He lost his broker's license, his reputation, and 2 years of his life in federal prison. When he was released, he was asked by a reporter, "Why did you take such a risk?" This 35-year-old man was just 1 year, before he was arrested, was making $300,000. But he says, "I tell you why I took the risk. I did it because I wanted to get at the real money." As if $300,000 wasn't enough. Money wasn't just Levine's desire, it was his God. It was that for which he hungered and thirsted, that for which he thought he could not live without. The example on the other extreme from Levine is Maria. Maria was an Orthodox nun from the Ukraine who, in the mid-20th century, turned her back on the aristocracy into which she was born, made her way to France to work with the resistance during World War II. It was in France that she discovered her life's purpose. She dedicated herself to the poor and the homeless. It was there that she was imprisoned for the crime of rescuing Jews and smuggling them to safety, and where she committed her last charitable act on earth when shortly before liberation, she willingly took the place of a Jewish prisoner who was being led to the gas chamber. She became a martyr for Christ. You can't do that kind of thing unless you hunger and thirst for righteousness and unless you are in a right relationship with God. Now, most of us fall somewhere between those two extremes. But Maria should be our example. One who was born into aristocracy, who could have had all of the worldly pleasures her heart desired, but yet she surrendered them all to know and follow Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we must become poverty-ridden martyrs. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that we must all choose how we will attempt to satisfy the desires within our heart. Will it be the real money, as Levine said, or will it be a committed covenant relationship with God? When we are physically hungry, it is our body telling us that we need food. When we're thirsty, it's our body telling us we need water. But our spirit also hungers and thirsts. For you see, when God created us, He placed within us a desire to know Him. And we have this desire in our heart. But oftentimes we confuse that desire. We think that desire is for things. So we buy this or we buy that, or we get into this relationship or that relationship, or we go here or we go there. We may experience happiness for a while, but that desire soon comes back. We hunger and thirst, and we are never filled. It's what St. Augustine said when he said something to the effect of, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. One of the things that makes this beatitude even more powerful is that when we remember that just before Jesus preached this Sermon on the Mount, He had been tempted by Satan. And in those temptations, Satan offered Jesus power and prestige. He offered Him all the things that this world could give Him. And all that he offered Jesus, though, was temporary. But Jesus refused because His hunger and His thirst was for something else. His hunger and His thirst was to do the will of the Father. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we are longing for that covenant relationship with God. We will never know true lasting joy in our life until we are in that covenant relationship with God. We'll never know contentment until we realize that those desires in our heart is a desire for God. For God to be right with us requires only that God extend an invitation to us, which God has done when He invited us to believe in and follow Christ. But for us to be right with God requires that we accept that invitation and by faith believe and follow all of Christ's commands. That's what covenant means. Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well that He would give her living water and she would never thirst again. We will remain hungry and thirsty until we realize that unfulfilled desire in our heart is for a relationship with God. Oftentimes we try filling that relationship with all kinds of things, but we still hunger and thirst. What is it that you desire most? What is it that you cannot live without in this world? Is it truly God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.